Thank you, Mr. Gakel, and we look forward to working with you. Okay, with that, I'd like to call this Board of Supervisor meeting to order. The date is October 15, 2013. The time is 6:35. If everyone could please stand, I'm going to ask outgoing Assessor Dave Cogdill, Sr. to please stand and lead us in the pledge.
Thank you. Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Dave. Okay, this evening we're going to start out with something fantastic. It's a presentation. Faith Townley has come up from Sacramento, come down from Sacramento, and she's with CSAC, State Organization of Supervisors, and she's here to give a presentation on winning an innovative award, the CSAC's Innovation Award, to Stanislaus County for the Valley Recovery Resources and their Clean and Sober Living Program. Faith. Good evening.
Thank you, Chairman, Supervisors, and staff, and thank you for allowing me to come up this evening to present this award to you. CSAC created the Challenge Awards to be innovative and be able to recognize the innovative ways counties have responded to certain issues within their county and spotlight the creativity and leadership demonstrated by those counties. At a time when our counties are facing unprecedented demands for service as well as huge fiscal constraints, that innovation, determination, and hard work found throughout California's 58 counties is critical to providing our services to the 38 million residents within the state of California. Today, I'm here to recognize Stanislaus County with the California County's Innovation Award, and I will let you know that of all of our challenge awards that we provide, that's actually the top award that we give to our counties. And that's for developing a unique partnership that provides treatment and recovery services to women with drug and alcohol dependency issues, while also allowing them to continue residing with their children. Stanislaus County, like most in California, has experienced several years in a row of declining revenue and was forced to cut budgets for important services, and that includes your Clean and Sober Living program. That program, like aforesaid, offers the drug and alcohol treatment services to women in need in a residential setting and allows their children to stay with them while they complete that program. Faced with closing that facility, your county entered into a partnership with the faith and business communities here. The result was a new nonprofit organization called the Valley Recovery Resources, and it raised enough money to provide almost $145,000 in matching funds that kept state and federal grant dollars flowing into the county. That total was enough to keep your Clean and Sober Living program open. Almost 200 women and almost as many children have received help from that new partnership. This program is undoubtedly saving money, but more importantly, it's enhancing the lives of mothers and their children in a way that will be positive and have positive effects for years to come. I am honored to present a 2013 California County's Innovation Award to the Board of Supervisors, as well as Steve Berkowitz, Executive Director, and Mr. Grover, who I believe is going to be here in place of Mr. Van Kunenberg tonight, the President and Board of the Valley Recovery Resources. I also understand that they have some other staff and board members that they would like to acknowledge as well.
Perfect. And if I could ask Steve, please to come up, Kathy Harwell, Jan Viss, and I'm going to ask also that Supervisor O'Brien and John Grover join me up in front. Giving to us, or are we giving to you? I'm just kidding. I say that because I've got things to present. But again, we're standing up here. This is the third time. If you live in Stanislaus County, you know about Valley Recovery Resources and what it's meant, what meant to our community. I am on CSACs. I judge the urban counties, which are populations of a million or above, for the Challenge Awards. And we had chosen a couple, actually from Ventura County, a couple of Challenge Award winners. And at the end, we all sit down, the urban, suburban, and rural, and they bring the best ideas forward for the Innovation Award. And it was interesting because I obviously don't participate in choosing for Stanislaus County. It was interesting to sit in a room and listen as I was putting forward the best of the urban counties. And there was a gal, and her last name was Michelin. I remember that because of the tire. And I'm not sure what her first name was. And she started talking about this program, and because I hadn't actually seen the application. I only saw the other applications. And it is wonderful to be recognized. As we all know, it's nice when you do something good to be recognized, but it's a different level when someone says this meets every single criteria of our judging. Is it replicable for small counties to big counties? Can it be done with, does it need a lot of money from the county, from the municipalities? No. And it's a collaboration, exactly what we're looking for. We talk about the tapestry of opportunity in our community. This is it. This identifies exactly what we look forward to. So for the third time in about the last 6 months, you're up here. And I couldn't think of a better thing. And this is an awesome award from CSAC. I am as excited to receive this, but we are also going to present you with, since there's two houses, right? Two Valley Recovery houses. We have two plaques, and Jack, could you bring those up? Vanna. Thank you, sir. And we would like to hang these in each one of your buildings, if you don't mind, in recognition of California State Association of Counties, CSAC, 2013 California Counties Innovation Award presented to the Stanislaus County and the Valley Recovery Resources for a most unique partnership for clean and sober living programs. And it has the insignia of Valley Recovery Resources and Stanislaus County on this. So again, now I'm going to say on behalf of CSAC, I will accept that, but again, on behalf of what you've done for the community, and Supervisor O'Brien, I know you guys started this on Christmas Eve. Was it Christmas Eve? Started on Christmas Eve, how appropriate to help people. And this is what it's become. So again, on behalf of the Board of Supervisors, on behalf of CSAC, thank you guys again. I am proud because it wouldn't be possible without the private sector. And you're really the one that stepped up. We're the vehicle. You guys are the ones that stepped up. So, Mr. Grover, thank you very much. Awkward moment. Who wants to talk? One more time. I would just like to say on behalf of Valley Recovery Resources how important our partnership is with the county, how much we appreciate it, and how much we know and believe that it's unique. So we really celebrate tonight to receive an award like this with you. And I want to thank Steve and all of our staff for what they do every day. And I want to thank county staff, too, for all the great work that they do. It's important, it's needed, and I think we're making a real difference in the lives of a lot of women and children. And that's what matters. Thank you.
I know the women and children that we serve aren't here tonight, but I also want to thank them for trusting us, both the county and Valley Recovery Resources, for partnering together so that we can meet their needs. That's actually very great that they trust us to meet their needs. And I do want to personally thank the staff also. They're the ones that hit the floor and have to do this every day. They're the ones that make this possible.
All right, one last little clip on behalf of CSAC and your neighboring 57 counties. Congratulations.
Okay, next up we're going to have we have accommodation for Assessor Dave Cogdill Sr. for his service in Stanislaus County.
Well, Chairman, tonight we want to take a few moments to express our appreciation to Dave Cogdill Sr. For his service to our county since 2010 when he ran unopposed to be the county assessor. The stated mission of the County Assessor's Office is to produce a fair, accurate, and timely assessment role while providing excellent customer service. Under Dave's leadership, this mission has been met every year, as he serviced the, as he provided his services as our San Jose County Assessor. Dave helped guide the Assessor's Office through one of the most challenging times we've experienced as an organization as we've gone through this greatest recession since the Great Depression. Mounting foreclosures coupled with a sharp decline in property values resulted in over 50% of the residential properties in this county needing to be reviewed annually. Dave began his appraisal career in the Mono County Assessor's Office in 1971. He relocated to Modesto in 1979, where he worked in the appraisal field with Robert Ford and Associates for 18 months before founding Cogdill and Giomi Real Estate Appraisers and Consultants, a business he co-owned with David Giomi until January 2007. David held numerous elected positions through his lifetime, including fire commissioner for the Bridgeport Fire Protection District. I didn't know that earlier. Modesto City Councilman and Vice Mayor, California State Assembly Member, and California State Senator. Dave has been an active member of the California Assessors Association and has served on several nonprofit organizations, including the Modesto Chamber of Commerce, the YMCA of San Jose County, Youth for Christ, and Christian Public Servants. He's been a member of the Modesto Rotary Club for 20 years. Dave and his wife Stephanie, of 43 years, live in Modesto. They have two grown children, a son, David Jr., who serves on the Modesto City Council, and a daughter, Megan. Their children and spouses also live in the Modesto area, along with their two grandchildren, Connor and Kathleen. Along with the Board of Supervisors and our CEO leadership team, I would like to thank you, Dave, for your service to this county the past several years, as well as your broader service to this community for over 40 years. You've been a valuable member of our organization, and we want to wish you the very best as you take on this new chapter in your life as CEO, President of the California Building Industry Association. So, Dave, thank you, and I believe the chairman has an award commendation plaque for you.
Good evening. There we go. Well, this is kind of a bittersweet moment for us, probably for you too, and it'll be a new chapter in your life. A couple things I just heard. Number one, 43 years you've been married. Outstanding. 44 in January. And you got married really young, because usually I would say this to a gal, but he looks really young for being married that long, so that's impressive. You've done great work for us. I have to tell you that, you know, I followed your career path. You were an assemblyman, you were in the state senate, city councilman, obviously. You've done wonderful things everywhere you've gone, made our community better. Most of the time, I repeat that over and over and over, because anyone that's willing to step up in our community and make it better for the greater good, I can appreciate, because it's not always fun. And then you come back to an elected official in the county. And I always wanted you to fix negative ballot. You know I was going to hit you with that. You didn't quite get it. But, But I appreciate it. I do wish you the best in your next chapter. I know you're not going anywhere. It's very hard to leave this community. You have deep roots here. But on behalf of the Board of Supervisors, I do have a plaque. It says, to Dave Cogdill, Senior Assessor, in grateful appreciation of your leadership and your service to the citizens of San Jose County 2011-2013. From the San Jose County Board of Supervisors, we also have a resolution, of which I never read them, but it says some really nice things about you. So thank you again for all you've done, and I'm going to turn the mic over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. I appreciate certainly the recognition, but I wanted to thank you for your support over the last 3 years. I have truly enjoyed my time as Stanislaus County Assessor. As Stan pointed out, that's really where I began my career. And in many ways, that's where my heart will always be. But serving this county over the last 3 years, and particularly leading this outstanding group of professionals in this assessor's office, has been a real pleasure. And I know I'm not telling you anything you don't know as it relates to the quality of the leadership of this county or this county in general, especially when you are exposed to some of the horror stories that have taken place and are taking place throughout this state right now and in many other counties. So again, it's been a real privilege and honor to serve. As I stated in my letter of resignation, and I truly believe this, that the people of this county are blessed to have this board and the boards that have preceded you over the last 30 or 40 years leading them, and I certainly want to commend Stan for the great job that he's done and the good support that he's been to my office, and I want to congratulate Don Gakel. You had a tough decision to make, but in reality it was probably one of the easier ones from the standpoint of the quality of the people that were there that could take over this position. So I feel very good about leaving the office in exceptional hands. I know they'll continue to carry on and do a great job. And again, just thank you all for your friendship over the many years, and again, for the great job that you all do. Appreciate it.
A lot of folks aspire to be a department head, and when Dave came on, he couldn't have picked a tougher time in the economy, and it was a part of these department heads, or 26 department heads, that were the ones making the tough decisions when we had to laugh nearly 1,000 folks. So it wasn't fun. I see Don is still here, and I thought maybe he would run out with Dave and not want the job. But it's a very difficult time, and I appreciate everything you do, Dave. Don, tough times are still here, so thank you guys for what you do. All right, we're going to move on to the public comment period. It's an opportunity to speak on any item that's not on today's posted agenda. And I have one speaker card. That's from Ricky McGill. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you to the chairman and also to the board and also the members that's here tonight. The reason why I come before you is that, just like you gentlemen, I've had an opportunity to be a candidate for Modesto City Council, and in that experience that I've been taking is that I found out that Modesto does not have a police academy. And from what I understand, talking to some people and the chief of Modesto Police Department, I found that they used to have one at Modesto College, and now the person who's over the academy is a sheriff, and he's the chief of all the counties. And what I come to you to talk about is that I believe in coalitions. And coalitions means that I think that Modesto and also the county could work together hand in hand to create a Modesto Police Academy at Modesto Junior College. And as I had a chance to confer and talk to Sheriff Christensen, he said the reason why we do not have that academy is because of finances. It's something like $1 million and some, and it's basically instructors. But I would like to try to put in your mind that today the governor went to the Supreme Court and they refused to allow people to stay in state prison. And I'm sure that Dick and some other people who worked in the legislature know that Modesto will probably have close to maybe 4,000 or 5,000 people that will be off parole that we will have to supervise. And with that, we will need more police officers to combat the people that we will see back in our society. I work for the Department of Correction. I just retired in September, so I know lots about law enforcement. And another problem that you have is that when you do recruit a sheriff, that individual, because of finances, they'll usually get trained and then they will leave the department. I wish we could address those issues so when the sheriffs are trained, they can stay in the county, and the city police are trained, they can stay in there. So I would like to and hope that the city council and also the supervisors can work, and the people in our county can work together so we can create this academy so we can actually recruit and keep the young people that we know that could be our police officers and work on the ground and be from this county and this area to help us in the days to come. Thank you very much.
Mr. McGill, what district are you a candidate for? Shameless promotion right now. Go for it.
District 4.
District 4. Which district is that in the rest of it?
District 4 is really around Yosemite, and the candidates in there. And the good thing about running against people, I think the candidates that's in District 4 will represent the district. And I always said that whether I win or lose, I still will volunteer and work in the city because I'm retired and I would love to give back something to the community and leave a legacy just like my parents left. So it will be District 4. Thank you.
Leave your phone number right over there with the clerk and I'll be in contact with you if you want to donate your time.
Well, I'll really talk to the sheriff.
Thanks for your service. anyone else for public comment? Seeing none, we'll move on to the consent calendar. The consent calendar are the items marked with an asterisk. Would any board or supervisor like to pull any items? Anyone in the audience want to pull any items? Okay, those are items A, 1 through 5, B, 1 through 10, and C, 1 through 3, D1. Do I have any motion?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
You have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Moving on to item B11, approval to submit a proposal to the Board of State and Community Corrections for jail construction funding pursuant SB 1022. Patricia L. Thomas, and this will require a 4/5 vote for Sheriff Christensen. Evening.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Doring and Mr. Risen. Adam Christensen, your sheriff, and again, we are before you with what I would characterize as yet another piece of the puzzle and a greater opportunity once again to take advantage of what's happening right now in the state of California and invest in public safety infrastructure. And specifically what we're talking about tonight is really just that next step. So we've been before you already talking about realignment, talking about the great things that are happening with some of the partnerships, our community-based organizations, the fact that we're looking at an AB 900 Phase 2 project, which is desperately needed public safety infrastructure. And when I say that, I'm talking about housing and supervision, the people in the community who have committed crimes, they're addicted, and our greater focus now on breaking cycles of addiction and violence, providing programming opportunities, educational, vocational, and rehabilitative. Now comes another chance to invest even further in what we've already invested in and potentially get out of the downtown jail, which, as you know, was never designed to do with it what we're doing today. Certainly I think this opportunity under Senate Bill 1022 really gives us the leverage we need. And frankly, you heard already that we're number one out of 57. I can tell you right now, with these projects, we're still number one out of 57 in some of the collaboration, cooperation, and really that pragmatic vision that this team has in partnership with Patty Hill Thomas and her team and this board and the county. We are truly fortunate to have the leadership we do here in Stanislaus County to benefit the people who live here and public safety. So with that, really, we're talking about this next step. And it adds another up to 288 beds that would be used for housing and supervision. But more than that, I want to direct your attention to the fourth bullet point, the reentry and alternatives to custody training center. And that's really the focus. This is going to be a step-down unit. This is the transition between incarceration and reentry and providing the tools and resources people need to be successful to stay out of the criminal justice system. Our goal to leverage those partnerships to reduce our recidivism rates and to break cycles of addiction and violence, and that's really where this is at. As I mentioned also, we have a potential, if we get this done, of really getting out of the downtown jail and probably turning that into a court holding facility as we navigate the other challenge in the community in deciding where this new courthouse is going to go or even getting it built. So this opportunity really focuses on what we need in the community. Now, I've been in front of you before and talked about jail bed capacity, the effects and impacts of public safety and realignment. As you know, we got about 1,100 realigned state prison inmates back that we now supervise in partnership with probation. We don't want to forget our probation chief, Jill Silva, the work of her team, the deputy probation officers. This really is what I call a team sport. But it did have an impact because we already had a local jail bed capacity problem before realignment. Realignment just exacerbated it. Now we take advantage of these partnerships with the state to ease jail bed capacity. So you can see by this chart that as we got into realignment, our early release numbers started to go up. And we told the community that. I shared my objection to realignment because I was concerned about the safety of the community. I was concerned about the negative impacts that realignment would have on our quality of life and our crime rates. We've seen that. While serious and violent crime hasn't seen any significant increases, as a matter of fact, some decreases, property crimes, we're dealing with an overwhelming number of property crimes, largely fueled by addiction. We know that addiction is one of our biggest challenges, that and mental illness in the community. And we've been before this board with our great partnerships trying to combat that problem as well. And so this is what we see. And so our county jail needs assessment has shown us that we have to invest in this infrastructure. Again, you know, you're looking at, like I told you, some initial state projections. This is where, you know, the state comes along and says, trust us. Yeah, that for all of us, that's kind of interesting sometimes. But you can see that the actual realigned state prison inmates are a little bit higher than what was originally projected. And so finally, in this last slide, what we're really talking about is a segment of this group that is right now being diverted to alternative work programs. So because of our forced early release in order to stay within our jail bed capacity, remember we do operate under a consent decree, so we can't exceed a certain number of beds in order to facilitate keeping track of people and supervising them. They get diverted to alternative work programs and home detention. And you can see right there that there's a significant number that probably would still be in our custody if we had appropriate space to house and supervise people and provide that intense programming rather than kicking them out on the street. And so what we're seeing in especially our alternative work programs, we do see a cycle of recidivism because they know that there's no room at the end, you're going to get kicked out, so there's really no incentive to complete the program. You have to have the facilities so that you can hold accountability and consequence in play, and that way force people to complete the program and hopefully be more successful in the process, again, using the tools and resources that we provide in partnership with community-based organizations to really help people break cycles of addiction and violence. So with that, that's the quick update to what's happening with realignment and now this third round of funding that we absolutely want to take advantage of and continue to invest in critically needed public safety infrastructure to promote our programming opportunities. So with that, as always, it's a privilege and a pleasure to introduce the leader of the team, a great team, the Capital Projects team, and everybody else involved in this, Patty L. Thomas.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Sheriff, thank you, Sheriff, very much. Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Rising, Mr. Doring. I'm glad to be here for lots of reasons tonight. It's a good night in the boardroom. Lieutenant Clifton reminds me that we just didn't start this yesterday. We started this latest round of jail planning back in 2008. And you've always indulged me a moment to recognize the people that make this happen. And those of you know me know I have a favorite saying I say a lot lately, ooh la la. We are about to finish the AB 900 $89.5 million project and bring it to your board on the 29th of October and deliver it signed, sealed, and done to the state on October 30th. We seek your approval tonight of the SB 1022 project, and it'll be a miracle if we don't mix them up during this presentation. The applications to the State Board of Corrections are due on October 24th. So October is a busy month for the County of Stanislaus and the State of California. Lots of things are happening. I'm not going to go through the details. You're well aware of the fire. You're well aware of realignment, the numbers of inmates that the sheriff speaks about, AB 109 corrections realignment, our application and actually being the first county to seek and receive approval for an AB 900 Phase 2 project. Obviously, by action of the courts today, the state has not escaped its problem, an issue with prison overcrowding, and there's a tremendous fear that there'll be a huge release here in January as a result of the state's inability to solve their prison problem, but a significant level of that problem has been shifted to county governments. We have had a lot of jail planning, but we have never had the opportunity to come together and finance and fund projects that could make a difference in our community. And everything before you tonight and everything before you in these last months, in the last several years, is part of a very dynamic and robust master planning effort where we keep focused on what are our real needs and what are the most cost-effective solutions. I would just like to recognize for a moment the team that works on all of this right now, Josh Ewing, Mark Lozier, Daryl Long, Tim Fedorchek, Leticia Lomeli, Teresa Vanderveen, and Joan Cox in the back of the room. Thank you, Sheriff Christensen, with us tonight, or Lieutenant Clifton and Lieutenant Jacob. Captain Duncan could not be with us tonight. He's been tremendous in this. Sergeant Steve Traverso and Brandon Glasco. We have had tremendous support in the recommendations to you tonight from the Behavioral Health and Recovery Services Department, the Community Services Agency, and our Child Support Services Department, because these are solutions about how to prevent recidivism back into the criminal justice system, and they need those kind of program-based. But I'd like to also recognize the leadership of your board. These aren't easy decisions to make, especially in these continued challenging times economically. Your board's Capital Facilities Committee, Supervisor Bill O'Brien and Supervisor Dick Monteith, spend a lot of time with us, and we appreciate your focus, your detail, and your guidance, and I have their permission to tell you tonight and told you in the agenda item that your board's Capital Facilities Committee supports the recommendations we are presenting to your full board tonight. So thank you all. We pulled together an incredible plan funded by the state and also by the county, projects 1 and 2, I'm sorry I skipped that slide, back one, are the additional beds being constructed as a part of the AB 900 project, maximum security beds, special needs housing, and mental health medical beds, and a day reporting center, first one in the state to be included in these funding options. The county, at our own expense with your board's approval, is funding a companion project, $24 million in public facility fees that were collected just for these purposes, specifically for detention facilities. We have updated our needs assessment, which we have done continuously for years, because we don't want to just have a master plan on a shelf and then if there's a money opportunity, we dust it off and say, here's our needs. We want to make sure we're working hard to identify what we need in this community for public safety and no more than that. You know that we've opened the first SB 81 project in the state. We just celebrated together the opening of the Sheriff's Detention Unit, and as I told you earlier, we are moments away from completing the AB 900 Phase 2 bridging documents and design to submit to the state. As the sheriff said much better than I could, so many of the inmates that are in the county system now are here as a result of realignment, over 25%. And our existing facilities, except for our newest 192-bed Unit 2, have no program space at all to prepare inmates for reentry into the community. So the updated needs assessment that we bring for your approval tonight recommends and identifies the need for 342 beds to enable for the closure of the downtown jail and to centralize the services at the Public Safety Center, a long-held objective and goal of the Board of Supervisors. there is, again, a very competitive environment for these dollars. Very competitive. In fact, it's likely that more counties will apply for the 1022 funding than have applied in all of the other previous phases of jail construction. There's $500 million available statewide. There is $160 million available for medium-sized counties, and no medium-sized county can get more than $40 million in state lease revenue financing. And this money is only for programs and beds, or programs only. It is not simply about replacing jail beds, which is why our proposal fits so nicely. We bring to you tonight unified a recommendation to create a REACT center, and that will have 288 beds of transitional housing, part of the master plan at the Public Safety Center, with a program center. And in a moment, Daryl Long is going to speak to you a little bit about that from a program perspective. This project is funded by the state. The state will pay 90% of the cost of the construction. The county will pay 10%, and will allow for the closure of the downtown jail except for court holding. And it's really part of our modernization and efficiency plan at the Public Safety Center. Actually, Supervisor DeMartini used that term modernization when we were in the boardroom last, and it really well describes what this plan is about. That alternative work programs we have and alternatives to incarceration would also be relocated primarily from downtown Modesto to the Public Safety Center. And it would result in an increase of 444 jail beds in our jail system, bringing it with the 8900 project to a total of 1,758. Really important here, the legislature gave specific thought to the reality of budgets for county governments, and they authorized this funding, but they do not require counties to fully operate these facilities on day one. They recognize that this will give the counties over time the ability to close old facilities and to have inmates and staff in new, modern, safe facilities, but there is no requirement that you have to occupy it immediately. And that gives us a lot of flexibility as we look at the daunting numbers that it will cost to operate new jail beds. The REACT Center, this chart, we had to create this to keep ourselves straight, but today in our county jail system, we have 918 beds. And that includes our new Unit 2, 192-bed unit, just occupied about a week ago. There are 396 beds at the jail for an overall system of 1,314. Our 8900 jail project will take that to the 1,708. And you see on this chart that our REACT project that we bring to you tonight will bring our total system to a little bit less than that 1,708. 1,662 beds, because again, we are in AB 900 primarily adding additional beds, and in 1022 we seek to replace existing beds. For a moment, I'd like to turn this over to Daryl Long. You all know Daryl very well. He's going to talk to you about what it really means from a program perspective to create this REACT Center.
Chairman Chiesa, Honorable board members, Mr. Risen and Mr. Doering, I am deeply honored to be standing in front of you today to talk about not just programs and program space, but their importance and what they mean to this county, to the community upon release, when these people are released from custody and back into our system. I want to think that you may not be able to tell by looking at him, but Sheriff Christian is just a little bit modest when he talks about the successes and fortunes that they've had with programs thus far in Stanislaus County. He carries on a legacy and an excellence that has to do with probably 10 years back or more that just never had the vehicle to drive us to this success that we need today on this program. As you know, the programs that we have offered currently are very minimal, and it has to do with the fact that the staffing availability, the lack of space for those inmates, the security of providing those inmates in that space, those particular programs. The men's jail that stands now has no space whatsoever to conduct programs, yet the population of that jail houses probably 90% of the people who are going to be receiving those types of programs. And of that percentage, a good number of them require security higher than minimum or medium, and thus far there's no real access for them to provide that. With these inmates that we're talking about that are going to be coming through realignment, they're going to bring more with them than just time, and that is they're going to be bringing with them a liability that the county is going to have to assume. And with the our ability to provide those programs to these people, I think, and the way that we provide those programs, and we're going to be able to make that happen very well. Our REACT Center, as you've heard thus far, is not only going to be able to provide space for staff and volunteers, but it's going to create a behind-the-bars one-stop shop for all county departments in their ability to provide services to these folks. They'll be evidence-based, which means that there's going to be a scientific analysis applied to these people to ensure that we are not only doing what we're supposed to be doing, but we're going to be double-checked on that fact to make sure that we continue to do better and our excellence continues on from that. We have identified, we estimate that there may be as many as 300 inmates annually that we're going to be able to address in these particular programs and their successes. And those people all, if they do not come back into custody, are in fact going to add to the success and the safety of this community as we move forward. So with that, I will turn it back over to Patty.
Thank you, and I'd just like to thank Daryl and Greg Clifton for their work with a lot of our nonprofit providers over these last months to bring together this REACT Center. Is unique to Stanislaus County. It's not a cookie cutter. We didn't find it anywhere else. It was envisioned here by the collaborative folks that work together. So a special thank you on that to Daryl and Greg and everyone involved. You know this part of the story. It's 90% state cash, lots of hurdles, lots of challenges to get the money, but we know that you can get this money if you're vigilant and determined to do so. It requires a 10% county match. There are, for this program, 4 criteria, and only one is mandated, and that is the county contribution of 10% matching funds, cash in the bank. Your board has already set aside $4 million. We asked you for a little bit more tonight from public facility fees. No impact on the construction side to the general fund. The other criteria include real estate due diligence, which we are done with, compliance with the California Environmental Quality Act, which we are done with your action tonight. And I'd like to thank Angela Freitas, our planning director, for excellent work here, and authorization to execute the financing program documents in their form. Those documents will come back to your board, and again, we are fortunate because we have already not only negotiated but executed all the same agreements with the state for our Juvenile Commitment Center project. Our match can be cash and in kind. We ask you tonight to be ready to proceed, meet that mandatory criteria by allocating officially the $4.445 million. $4 million of which you have already set aside by board action. This project is estimated to cost $44.6 million, and we would seek $40 million from the state. The $4 million your board has already authorized for the match. We ask you tonight to allocate an additional $445,000 in detention public facility fees appropriate to be used for this and approved by the public facility fee committee, along with an additional $250,000 of public facility fees for those expenses that the state considers ineligible. They include legal costs, office supplies, and printing. Doesn't make any sense, but that's how it works. We are complete on real estate due diligence. I'm proud to announce for our AB 900 project, we have our mandatory due diligence conference with the state of California on November 14th. We would not dispose or modify of this property, but essentially pledge it to the state, again, until the state retires the debt. This is a picture of our public safety center. The project one and the part that says staff parking and project three are all parts of the AB 900 project, and we'll pull up now for you, I hope, the proposed SB 1022 REACT site. It's intended to be both within and outside of the secure perimeter of the facility, and it is in exact compliance with your Board of Supervisors' adoption of the neighborhood site plan for the entire public safety center. I will talk to you from a broad perspective about CEQA, and our planning director will join us if you have a lot of detailed questions. Compliance with CEQA is important. What the state seeks here are counties that are ready to go, not counties that don't have a jail site, that haven't completed CEQA and don't have the cash match. Your board is aware for many years about our constant review under the provisions of the California Environmental Quality Act of this site. Most important to note again in tonight's action that the West Series Landing Specific Plan Environmental Impact Report that resulted ultimately in the county's public safety center being annexed into the city of Ceres called for 1,892 beds at the public safety center. This project brings the total number of beds well within that authorization at 1,758. We will bring back to your board, if the funding is approved, the program documents. We will seek a funding preference for the match and the delivery of those agreements in their form only at this date. In December, the Executive Steering Commission, oops, I skipped something. We're going to summarize for you today's actions, and I'm not going to repeat them later in the recommendations. We are asking your board to approve the filing of a notice of exemption finding that the proposed project is exempt under the provisions of the California Environmental Quality Act. Again, this is in line with all your past board actions. The City of Ceres has been notified, worked with our planning director on this matter. We would file tomorrow morning in Sacramento at the State Clearinghouse the notice of exemption if approved by your board. Secondly, we ask you to approve an updated jail needs assessment prepared by Kraut Criminal Justice Consulting, and we've reviewed with you those recommendations primarily for the replacement of the downtown jail and program-based facilities. Next, we ask you to approve the use of $445,000 in public facility fees as recommended by the Public Facilities Committee and the Board's Capital Facilities Committee, along with the $4 million already approved by the Board. We will ask you tonight by a 4/5 vote to put both of those funding sources together so that we can clearly demonstrate to the state that the cash is in the bank and the county is ready to proceed. We also ask you to approve additional $250,000 in the public facility fees for ineligible project costs. We ask you to designate the Chief Operations Officer as the project manager, as you've done in the past, and authorize us to finalize and submit the application pursuant to the rules for the $40 million. We will submit that next Tuesday on October 22nd with your approval tonight. In December, the State Executive Steering Committee of the Board of State and Community Corrections will meet with counties for presentations of projects. They will make their recommendations, and the Board of State and Community Corrections will make conditional awards to counties in January of 14. In the spring, if we are awarded funding, we will seek the State Public Works Board approval. Of course, your Board of Supervisors approval is sought for every major step of the way, and in the summer, we would come back to you asking for approval of funding. In the fall, we would then, and this is the fall of 2015, when we will have bid and be under construction with our 8900 project, and in the summer of 2016, we would seek a conditional award of a design build construction project. And in the spring of 2018, so we got to make it that far, we would be done essentially implementing the Public Safety Center Master Plan. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, we have 10 recommendations for you tonight. They are all laid out. They primarily include the action on CEQA, the update of the needs assessment, all the fiscal actions recommended, and all of the technical activities required to submit the SB 1022 application to the state of California. And we'd all really be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Any questions for staff?
Okay. Patty, a few things here. Sorry, am I good?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay. First of all, and you might have said this, the $250,000 things that, did you tell, I think you said what they, it was
yeah.
Supplies.
There's office supplies, printing, and legal expenses primarily that the state doesn't recognize, although they are required to do the project.
Okay.
So we recommend funding those, Supervisor Withrow, from public facility fees.
Okay, so in, you know, I get this, I get the whole thing, and I get this is going to be a replacement, you know, not really a, considered new. So what we're going to do here is spend $44 million, or, you know, 4.8 of that is ours and 40 from the state. And but when it's all said and done, we're going to have 46 less beds once we close the jail. And so okay, so I'm struggling with this again. You know, I know we're looking to get more beds, to get more people in. I realize this is a different type of program. I realize this REACT is going to, but still we're going to spend $44 million, and when it's all said and done, we've got to, so then I guess the question is, we're going to close the jail. Do we have to close the jail? How long can we keep that jail open? I mean, maybe that's the, Adam's laughing at me back here, but.
We're going to give, the sheriff will have a tremendous amount of flexibility. There's no requirement to physically close the jail, technically, but we want to not use it as much as possible and ultimately close it. It's very costly. It has aging and safety issues and liability issues that we want to move ourselves from. So maybe the sheriff will take it from there, and I'm going to come back to the number.
No, she stole my
No, I understand that. I know it's
there is no mandate to close it.
Okay.
We don't have to. But there is significant exposure and risk in not only the condition of the facility, the fact that we, even though we do pass annual audits, you know, the civil grand jury repeatedly has said it's
time
to get out of it. But here's the big thing, okay? Conditions of confinement. Okay, all of those lawsuits that the state of California has been subjected to, we now own because of realignment. And conditions of confinement, the ACLU and the prison law office will descend upon us, and that facility will be problematic for us from a litigious standpoint. And you know how much I love lawsuits.
Right, no, and I understand that. I know that's why we're trying to get away from this thing and get it closed. But still, it's a little bit of a problem that we're, when this is all said and done, we've got less beds than we had
that's true.
At the start of this thing.
But you also have greater programming opportunities, and you've reduced your risk. So, yeah, it's a trade-off.
No,
you're absolutely right.
And I guess the hope is with this, you're going to hopefully reduce your recidivism through this REACT program, and that will mean less than it, I guess, but still, it's a little hard to swallow.
Well, I want to come back to the bed numbers, if I may. We won't have less beds. And this chart was specifically prepared, and we shared it at Capital Facilities because Supervisor O'Brien at our last discussion when you considered the design wanted us to be very clear about what's additional and what's replacement. The 8,900 beds are additional. So when you look at today, we have 1,314 beds in our system.
Mm-hmm.
We will have 1,708 beds at least with the 8,900 project. And the difference here are, there's two differences. One is there's a possibility that we could build some more beds, as we presented to your board before, with the AB 900 Phase 2 money, if the bids and the state approve that.
Correct.
We also wanted to be very clear in answering the question that Supervisor Brian raised about what's additional and what's replacement. In the AB 900 project, to minimize the staffing impact, 62 beds of the downtown jail will close, and their staff and resources will go to the new project. And therefore, the 1022 project doesn't require 396 beds to replace the jail. It just requires the difference. So the only decline, Supervisor, is between the additional beds of 1708 down to 1662. We'll still have, if this plan works, we'll have 1662 beds instead of 1,314 beds. I know it's confusing. I probably confused it more. I'm sorry if I did.
It's a math thing.
It's a rough math thing.
It really is. Abigail's right. It boils down to budget. If we can make this work with the partnerships we've established, we'll have the capacity we need. It won't be perhaps capacity that we'll have to look at 10 or 15 or 20 years from now, but at least for now, it's the capacity we need.
Okay, so maybe tell me, you can keep this, you can keep the, I know there's a risk of lawsuits, I know it's a terrible facility, it's kind of, but you can still have this available until the day comes, whenever that is, to close this thing down, so we still could throw people in there as horrible as it might be for them to have to be in there.
Well, we don't throw them in there. But
yeah, whatever, but still, we're not gonna, on the day this thing opens, we're not going to close this jail down.
There is no mandate, but again, what we're presenting to you tonight, there's a lot of, I don't want to call it uncertainty. There's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot that have work that has yet to be done, and these are all what we think is the best plan, subject to change. Are we mandated to close it? No. Are we going to continue to be pressured to close it? Yes. But I think if you take a look at, again, the facility itself and what we're doing with it today, Lieutenant Mike Daly, the facility commander and the team there, they've done a terrific job in managing that facility and making sure that we meet all of the mandates, all of the certifications, all of the inspections. We pass. So we're okay.
Yeah.
But there's that risk that makes me nervous.
Okay. Then the next question, maybe you can figure out, is so now the cost to maintain this thing. So the thought was then that as we close this one down, we open this one up, it's a push as far as our cost to run and maintain. Is that really going to be the case? If this is going to be a facility that requires, that's going to provide more services than the jail we have right now, will it really be a push there as far as our cost, or is it going to be more cost to the county to run this new React place, and how much is that going to be?
Well, bed for bed, staff for staff, it'll be a wash. But we're going to continue to push the state for adequate, sustainable, protected funding. We know right now that the funding under realignment isn't anything close to equitable.
Right.
So the state sheriffs are going to continue those talks with the Department of Finance in making sure that we're going to see additional revenue. That's our goal. We know that we're getting some growth revenue. The methodology has changed. The funding formula has changed to our favor a little bit. But, you know, when Contra Costa County is still getting three times the funding we're getting at half the number of, or half the ADP, that's problematic for us. So remember, phased approach to occupancy, utilizing existing resources and staff to make it work. The trade-off is better beds, a better facility, a better environment conducive to programming versus jail, and the jail really is what it is. It's concrete floors and steel doors.
Okay, and I understand. I guess I just like, rather than kind of a leap of faith for this, these things are going to work out this way, I'd like to see your projections of how that's going to work out.
And we attempted to describe it in our lengthy agenda item, but let me be clear. We can't afford to, we would not ask you to seek SB 1022 funding if they were additional beds. We would not be able to afford it. We already know that the addition to our system in the 17-18 fiscal year will result in additional increased costs. And the strategy here is really about the quality of the delivery of the service and the flexibility to the sheriff. Ultimately, the sheriff will have a lot of decisions to make, but your board will still approve every year the appropriation and the number of staff for the detention system. That's your responsibility. And this is not just a wish. We have spent hours and hours evaluating and developing a plan that would, except for court holding, because that's outside of our scope of control, we would seek to use all of the existing staff at the downtown jail in these new, modern, safe facilities that would be constructed here. We do have the financials behind them, and we'll bring them to you. Submitting the application doesn't mean you've signed on the dotted line. We understand the construction is a drop in the bucket compared to the operating costs of these facilities, and that's why we think it was so important to identify the difference between additional beds and replacement beds.
And if
that's,
we don't,
what's behind this plan.
And Supervisor Withrow, if we don't do this now, you're never going to get it done. It's never going to happen. And when many other counties in the state right now are walking away from these potential opportunities because they have the very same concerns you do about the operational costs, it's this team's determination and right down to the definitive, this is how we're going to make it work, that we're asking you to trust us. Yeah, it is a leap of faith, but we believe we've got a good, solid plan that will protect the community, that will promote public safety, and at the same time, control our costs. We know that's a problem.
So, great with all that. And I'm sure Dick and Bill probably hit a lot of this stuff in committees already, so I apologize if I'm doing stuff you guys have already done. I would love to, I know at this point we still have a long ways to go, but I'd love to be able to, you guys come back next time and have these operating numbers for us, just like we, you know, we've got this $10 million we think it's going to cost us a year with the, is that what it is for the AB900 that we think it's going to cost us?
Well, the $10 million has been qualified a million times, but probably not enough. The $10 million was, the number was estimated in 2009, and it was for sworn staff only.
Mm-hmm.
And Deputy CEO Jody Hayes is leading an effort to refine and finish that effort. We'll bring that to you on October 29th.
Okay.
Also, the operating costs of the additional beds. I won't leave you here with the idea that there's no, and I told the committee this, no additional cost to 1022, because there will be utility costs. But our intention and plan, and we will bring you that detail beyond what we brought to you today, is to operate it with existing allocated sheriff staff.
Okay, so that'd be great. If next time we talk about this, we could see what your projections are on that.
Provided, of course, we can deal with that other challenge called recruitment and retention. So,
okay.
But yes,
okay.
That's our goal.
Okay, great. All right, thank you, guys.
Supervisor DeMartini.
I always appreciate having an accountant on the board for those dollars and cents. It's kind of an interesting perspective. There's a little bit more to this than just, you know, dollars and cents of the operation. You know, we have to deal with aging facility of the downtown jail, and like I've said before, this is a jail modernization program. If we don't go through this now, we're never going to get another opportunity in the near future. We have to deal with the negative impacts of the realignment from the state, and we have to provide something that tries to do something about recidivism. We throw somebody in jail with an addiction problem or a mental illness and we don't do anything to treat them and throw them back out in the street, and they're going to go right back to where they had before, and they're going to be stealing cars and copper wire and who knows what else. But, you know, we're going to have to deal with this prison population and try and treat the problems that they have, what brought them in there to begin with. And this facility would help to do that, you know, with the mental illness, drug addiction, or whatever their problem is. And we really have to look at overall the cost to society if we don't do it. Because I can see, you know, the crime that we have right now is because of this realignment. We have people that really need to be in jail, that need to be treated for drugs or some type of program for mental illness, and the sheriff doesn't have a place to put them. So he's taking care of the people that should belong in state prison. So he has to take care of those people. And everybody else gets kicked out the back door with no treatment or anything, and then they're back out on the street of the life of crime. So I'd fully support this. The downtown jail needs to be replaced. It doesn't meet our needs anymore. We have an opportunity for the funding now that we may not get in the future. Every time that I think that we're all through building things, that we can't possibly get another grant or anything anymore because we've just, you know, outdone everybody else, they come up with another way of possibly getting some state funding. I think our team that we have is going to be in the best in the state for leveraging money in getting projects built. I hope sometime you come back to us with the coroner's facility and that would actually be the end.
Oh, yeah.
It's that one thing.
It's the one thing we just cannot seem to get done. But there's a lot of positives in this, and we can look, you know, at dollars and cents of operation, but, you know, recidivism, we've got to do something about that. We've got to treat these people. And there's a cost to society by not doing this, and I think we're seeing it right now. So this is our opportunity. If we don't grasp this now, it could be decades before we're able to do this in the future.
Thank you. Any other comments?
Yeah, I'm glad Supervisor Ruther asked the questions, because sometimes it feels like I'm the one asking all the money questions, so I appreciate that. To help talk a little bit about it. The downtown jail is completely inefficient. It costs so much to operate that. It's not part of our long-term plan. And so we need to look at this as going from 1314 up to 1662. However, we do have a trick up our sleeve to close that gap with potential more beds than what this chart shows. So there is an opportunity there. As far as how it's paid for, one is through efficiencies, but two, the type of housing out there for that unit would be dormitory style, kind of what we saw in Unit 2 out there, which has got to be much more efficient, which is going to pay for the programs. I think Supervisor DeMartini is absolutely correct. The reentry program is what's essential in this. Is every inmate going to be eligible to go through that? No. Is everyone going to be successful in it? No. But there will be success stories, and that's the one that's going to save us tax dollars by not reoffending, and it's going to save society money through no victim, no future victim. And so that's the part that really sets this apart. We wouldn't be here. I mean, being here tonight is no accident. We wouldn't be here without the leadership and vision of our sheriff, Sheriff Christensen, without the cooperation we have between departments. This isn't just the sheriff deal. We heard how Angela Freitas has gotten through the CEQA. And without the tenacity of Patty Hill Thomas, we would not be successful in Sacramento. So it really is a team approach, and there's a reason other counties have come forth on that on the 8900 money. We know there'll be more interest in this SB money, but there's a reason, and it's because our county works well internally.
Thank you. Any other comments?
Yes, please. First of all, I want to praise all of those already mentioned in the work that you've done, and first of all, recognizing the changes that the state has made in which we are trying to improve the recovery of those who've made bad choices in their life so that they don't return. But also, in trying to address that issue, we also realize that we inherit a great deal more risk. And so those are the two things I believe that we're trying to address here is to, we believe, we were not like other counties that turned our back on it and threw up our hands and walked away. People in the county here and the departments have addressed this issue. They've looked it over from every angle. I don't think there's any question that Stanislaus County has the leadership in addressing and building and looking at costs of addressing the challenges we have in law enforcement. We have success stories that have been, we've opened up various facilities for juvenile and et cetera. And so, you know, I think that we take this step in order to take care of a mandate that we're given, and we address it on a positive manner in trying to combat crime. We can talk about crime all we want. That's the safety portion of it. But we also, as I said before, inherit a risk. And I tip my hat off to all of you in addressing both of those because they're of equal importance. If it's going to work, which we believe that we are going to give the best shot you've ever seen, and this county is not afraid to step up and address it, with the leadership that we have, I commend you, and I'm looking forward to further successes. I thank you.
The State Sheriff's Association, I know Adam, yourself, Probation Chief Silva, we've been arguing for ADP on the population, the AB 109 funding formula, because we had traditionally sent more people to state prison. And I'll continue to fight that fight, and I'll probably continue to lose that fight because of the Bay Area populations. And we know that the counties are going to be measured based on how we move the bar on recidivism, and that's really going to be, and that comes right back to programming. And we keep hearing about programming. And maybe we were late to the game, but we've been we're a poor county, I keep trying to point that out, and we didn't have the money. We struggle with trying to keep the jail level, we try and keep staffing up, and it's always been a funding issue for us. But we all have come to the realization that we're going to have to do programming. And I think it was very clear from this board during the CCP plan when it came to us that the programs have to have measurable results. And so this, building this jail, where it's going to be, near the programming, transitional housing, we talk about these things. This fits perfectly into the state's plan. And I will argue now, I mean, as much as I want the funding of the, based on the average daily population, we probably have the greatest opportunity to show results because we've had less fantastic results than maybe Contra Costa County, who's had a lot of money. They will have more trouble moving the bar because they've been probably doing a little better job. So we're maybe late to the game, maybe, and I know that probably there's some people who don't agree with what I'm saying, but I think we have a real opportunity here, and this is going to fit into it. Not only is the modernization, but getting all our facilities in one place makes absolute sense from a transportation, from bringing your deputies and your custodial folks into the same spot. And so I'm completely for this. Once again, the Capital Projects team shows why you're the best. You know, the degree of excellence in which you bring things to us, the way we get funded, not only based on need, but how we produce results for the state. And that, in turn, they trust us to be a model project. So, again, I will be supporting this. I think you're doing a great job. Sheriff, I'm sorry we keep hamstringing you. I keep saying that in public. I'm apologizing. But like I was talking about department heads, all department heads are in the same position, and you guys are doing yeoman's work with the funding that we give you. So, are there any comments from the audience? If not, I'm bringing it back to the board for action.
Motion to approve all 10 staff recommendations.
Second it.
We have a motion. We have a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Thank you again.
Thank you all very much.
Okay. Now we're moving on to the agenda item that everyone's been waiting for. D2, approval to continue implementation of the 9-year Williamson Act contracts in return for a reduction in landowner's property tax relief in calendar year 2014 and related actions under AB 1265. Before we take up this action, I would like County Council to...
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, this matter concerns the Williamson Act, which enables property owners to enter into long-term contracts to preserve the agricultural character of their property in exchange for certain tax benefits. Because 4 of the 5 board members, all except Supervisor Monteith, own agricultural land that is either under an existing Williamson Act contract or qualifies to be placed under contract, there is a potential for disqualifying conflicts of interest under applicable law and regulations. Pursuant to Government Code Section 1091, Williamson Act contracts are considered a remote interest, and the interest must be disclosed, noted on the agency record, and affected members must recuse themselves from participating in the decision. However, that leaves only one board member, Supervisor Monteith, without a conflict, and board action requires 3 affirmative board votes. Fortunately, applicable law and regulations provide for the so-called rule of necessity, which allows a member with a disqualifying conflict of interest to participate in a decision in order to carry out the business of government. In this case, 2 board members of the 4 with disqualifying conflicts of interest are needed to establish a quorum to proceed with a decision on this matter. I recommend that prior to proceeding further with this matter, that those 2 participating members be randomly selected by drawing straws. The 2 members who draw the long straws would participate, and the 2 members who draw short straws would recuse themselves from participation. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them. Otherwise, it would be appropriate to select participating board members at this time.
Okay. Long straws are staying in, and if I'm excluded, the vice chairman, if he's in, he will be running the meeting, and if we're both excluded, then the former chairman, O'Brien, will be leading the meeting.
The Irish versus the... That's a short straw.
I'm going to go last. I'll take whatever's... left over.
It looks like the Irish is there or out.
Okay, for the record, it is let it be known that Supervisor Withrow and Supervisor O'Brien drew the short straws on our out. Supervisor DeMartini, Supervisor Monteith, and Supervisor Chiesa and myself are sitting at the dais. Angela Freitas.
Good evening, Chairman Chiesa, members of the board, Mr. Doran, Angela Freitas, Planning Director. Again, this item is to continue implementation of the 9-year Williamson Act contract in return for a reduction in the landowner property tax relief for calendar year 2014. This self-help subvention program has been allowed under state legislation since 2010, and the program works by making the contracts 10% shorter in return for a 10% reduction on the landowner's property tax relief. Counties are eligible to participate if they find that the county received less than one-half of the foregone Williamson Act subvention funds from the previous fiscal year. The foregone funds for fiscal year 2013-2014 is approximately $1.4 million, and the county will receive zero in subvention funds from the state. Approval of this item will allow the county to continue to move forward with implementation of AB 1265 for fiscal year 2014-2015, that's calendar year 2014. This year's item includes a little different recommendation in that it provides for a streamlined approach allowing the county CEO to make the necessary determination in future years for continued implementation of 1265, so this item would not return back to the board next year. As currently adopted, 1265 is effective for calendar years 2014 and 2015. However, staff's recommendation will apply in future years if legislation extending the effective date of AB 1265 is introduced and passed by the legislation. If there are any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Any questions of staff? Any comments from the audience? We know.
It takes 5 minutes to shave, you know.
It takes a lot longer when you let it grow out. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, fellow board members, County Council, and Chief Executive Officer. Good evening. Thank you for allowing me to speak. You know, Stan, I noticed you have interim in front of your title there. Just so you know, in 2003, Supervisor Chiesa was an interim executive director at the Farm Bureau, and so in 2003, I took over as interim, and so today, 10 years later, I'm still interim. So play your cards right. Anyway, thank you. Again, I represent the Santa Claus County Farm Bureau. We represent almost 2,000 farmers and ranchers throughout Santa Claus County, and I just want to tell you I appreciate, it's been over already 3 years ago when you enacted, I think then it was SB 863, and it was a 9-year contract, which certainly farmers and ranchers would love to have the 10-year contract back for sure. But we know that under these circumstances with the counties and what the situations you guys are in, the collaboration with agriculture, we encourage you to continue with AB 1265 and the implementation. Thank you.
Mr. Zipser, I had one question for you. We noticed that this legislation runs out in the 15-16 fiscal year. Any efforts on the part of the Farm Bureau to make this a more permanent solution to our issue here?
You know, I should have mentioned that also I've talked to a lot of our local legislators in Sacramento and asked them, you know, what do you think eventually the full subvention would ever come back for the Williamson Act? And under this administration probably would be impossible. Certainly California State Farm Bureau is working towards hopefully getting a permanent solution for this. But absolutely, this is important. It's an important conservation tool, and it's worked very well since 1965. So, yes, they're working very hard.
Thank you. We appreciate your support.
I got to tell you, Wayne, that with the Farm Bureau, please, assuming it passes here today, I'll get ahead of myself, but in many of the other counties, the Farm Bureau has opposed the counties going from 10 years to 9 years, and some of the very large agricultural counties. And you guys were quick to the dais 3 years ago, and if you can pass it on to the Farm Bureau, I really appreciate it. It was tough times, extremely tough times back then, and when the state cut the funding, you guys stepped up, and I know it probably wasn't popular amongst, you know, members, I know, But I do appreciate it.
Yeah. And if you look at Imperial County, it's gone. So, and it's gone. That the ripple effect there is big time.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Any comments?
The Williamson Act has been around since 1965, and it's been an important conservation tool. It's worked well. The state of California has taken away the subvention to the counties that we were able to go to 9 years and really come out, about the same. keep in mind that about 70% of all the acreage of San Luis County is enrolled in the Williamson Act, and important that we continue with it. This doesn't cost the county anything. The Farm Bureau is in favor of it, and I think it's the only thing, only right thing to do is to continue it on for another year.
Supervisor Monteith?
Yes, I'd like to thank the Farm Bureau for the cooperation and working with us over the last several years. I realize the additional cost to agriculture, which we all know is our greatest industry in Stanislaus County. I just want to say thank you for your cooperation and looking for many years and working this out as time goes on. Thank you.
All right. I'll entertain a motion.
Okay. Motion to improve the staff recommendations.
Second. I think these are the same three board members, who made this decision 3 years ago.
That's fine.
Remember.
That's fine with me.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 3-0.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Wayne. Quick, let's all go hide. Christine, you and I are the only ones laughing. Okay, let's move on to correspondence.
This board has received a copy of the Stanislaus County Law Library annual report for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2013.
Acknowledge receipt of report.
This board has received a copy of the California State Board of Equalization's 2011-12 annual report and their publication, Taxes and Fees, administered by the California State Board of Equalization 2011-12.
Acknowledge receipt of reports.
This board has received a letter from the State Senator Alex Padilla requesting support of Senate Bill 405 regarding the phase-out of single-use plastic bags in California.
Refer to the Chief Executive Office of the Department of Environmental Resources.
This board has received a letter from the Governor's Office of Emergency Services regarding the U.S. Small Business Administration's declaration of primary and contiguous counties as disaster areas due to the Rim Fire, which began on August 17, 2013, and continuing.
Refer to the Chief Executive Office, Office of Emergency Services, and to the Stanislaus Economic Development and Workforce Alliance.
This board has received a letter from the Department of Fish and Wildlife regarding the draft environmental impact report for the proposed salmon conservation and research facility and related management actions on the San Joaquin River, 1.1 miles downstream of the Freyet Dam.
Refer to the Fish and Wildlife Committee.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisor reports? Supervisor DeMartini.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to say that the fourth annual Biggest Loser contest on the west side from the Healthcare Task Force is going to be this Thursday, the 17th at noon, and it will be at the Patterson Unified School District's Administration Building in Keystone Industrial Park. We have 7 teams, 10 members on each team from the cities of Newman, Patterson, and Gustine.
Do you think you're going to help your team?
Well, you know, we won last year, surprisingly. I lost 9 pounds. I'd say it's very difficult to lose weight. But the city of Patterson, whose team I'm on, actually won last year.
All right.
And so in the years that we've had this, Gustine has won once, Newman has won, and Patterson has won twice.
9 pounds is more than I've lost probably in my entire life, so be proud. Okay, Supervisor Withrow.
Yeah, and Jim must be helping his team. Did he get any dinner tonight? He didn't have any.
Yeah, you noticed.
I need a cookie out there.
That's the reason why, because the layout is in 2 days.
Never too late. I just want to kind of weigh in here. Myself, recently myself and Birgit Flatiger our DA sent a letter to the AOC, the Administrative Office of the Courts, regarding the courthouse site and kind of expressing our concerns about the selection process of the courthouse, and both myself and Burgert pushed for the I Street site rather than the one that has kind of come out ahead here over on 9th Street. So a letter I sent out, a letter Burgett sent out, both to Judge Jarre with the AOC. You know, I'm concerned with the lack of transparency of this whole process here, and kind of the lack of the county involvement in this whole process, who are really the main ones that are using this facility, will be using is the county, and our employees are the main ones that are working in there daily. So that's just was my opinion, Burgett's opinion. I would encourage the rest of the board to get involved as they see fit and would like to weigh in on the subject. But I just want to throw that out there that I did write a letter a week ago here.
Mr. Chairman, I think it's important to note that this board tried to get involved in the process, and we were told not to, and we would not be allowed to attend meetings. We sent a letter to the courts that a board member attend these meetings and was quickly rebutted with a letter that said we were not invited.
Who sent that letter to you, Bill? Where did it come from?
Yeah, CEO's got a copy of it. It came from the court.
From the AOC, maybe, or from the...
From the courts.
Okay, courts.
From the courts. And CEO Risen and I have been meeting regularly with the courts, and I guess my stance here is that you know, the choice has been made by the AOC, and we're meeting with the courts to try and see, and Sheriff Christensen also, to try and find out how to make it the most palatable for ourselves. I don't know if the ship has sailed. I don't want to say it has sailed or it hasn't sailed. I don't want to say which side is better because I haven't looked at it personally, but what I can say is that we're in dire need of a courthouse, and if there's any opportunity for us to keep rowing the boat in the same direction and meeting with the courts to make this work for the county, that's the direction I'm looking. I don't want to do anything to you know, potentially throw a monkey wrench in the situation. I don't know where they are, but the courts are as worried as we are that this funding is going to disappear, and we had been moved off the list, now we're back on the list. So if it comes down to a courthouse, 10th Street, 10th and I, is that what it is? Can't remember. H. Or a no courthouse at all, I'm going to support where it currently is located, although the other might be viable. So that's where I stand. Any other Board of Supervisor reports? Okay. Seeing none, are there legislative fiscal management report?
Yeah, real briefly, as our public comment speaker, Mr. McGill, mentioned earlier, the Supreme Court today rejected Governor Brown's appeal as it relates to the state prison overcrowding, and has been ordered to release 10,000 inmates by January 27th. The governor also had a deadline of this past Sunday to sign or veto regular session bills. And he had received over 805 bills this year, and he approved all of them but 96, of which he vetoed. On the federal level, I was checking earlier to see the latest on the pending crisis at the federal level as it relates to our debt ceiling, and it looks like discussions are broken down at the House level, and it's in the Senate now trying to come up with a last-minute solution compromise. We continue to watch that situation. We obviously, our recovery has lagged beyond the rest of the nation, and the last thing that we need is to see a fiscal crisis on the federal level. As far as the government shutdown, we continue to be okay as a county, provided this doesn't go on more than another couple weeks, at which point we might start having some cash flow issues, which we'd have to cover with our treasury. That concludes my legislative update.
Thank you very much. If there's nothing else for the good of the order, this meeting is adjourned.
Can I do anything? Someone did something.